So you're not going to have too long a wait. Well, they bring out Mira Andreeva and Jasmine Paolini. Serve out wide. It's chopped back and it is wide. And Świątek stares up to her box. And it is game point Goff. Serve down the tee. The forehand snapped back through the middle. Forehand placed into the corner. Dropped over by Świątek. She knows she's beat. And the game is won. Goff will take heart from holding serve and saving two match points. Her box, the entirety of which are on their feet. But very shortly, the defending champion of the world, number one, will be serving for her place in Saturday's final. 5-4 with the break.
Goff just doing what she needs to do, goes point by point, get through that game. That's all she could do. Make Świątek serve for it. Ask the question. Kate has emailed in, says, listening to your commentary while watching the TV on mute from the sunny Algarve. Surprised by the seeming lack of fight in Coco today. Desperate for her to grit her teeth and fight back. It seems like the Coco of a few years ago, not since her US Open win. Do you think she was just too worked up going in? And also, given the tears early, she said, it's an honest emotion, but Kate feeling that Coco Gauff has just seemed to be perhaps a little bit mentally unprepared for this match. I don't think so. I think you have to remember who she's playing and the situation that she's playing in. I don't think she was overawed by playing in a Grand Slam semi-final, because she's done that a few times.
She did look nervous at the start of the match. She was trying to be aggressive.
Sometimes you work out the game plan and you get ready and you prepare and it just doesn't fire for you.
5-4 serving for her place in Sunday's final. Backhand for Świątek. Cross court, just short it a little bit. And she is 3 points from the win and 3 points from winning her 20th straight match at Roland Garros.
And the tears that we saw earlier when she had a little discussion with Aurélie Tore, I think they were tears of frustration as much as anything. I don't think she was emotionally overwhelmed by playing on court Philippe Chatrier. She is a big match player.
Sixth Grand Slam semi-final for Iga Świątek, looking for her fifth Grand Slam final, and she is 4-0 when it comes to the championship match. 5-4, 15 love. Serve into the centre of the box and the body, it's a mid-court return, and then a rare unforced error from Iga Świątek, lofting the forehand long when she got Goff going the wrong way.
Little moment of weakness there. There haven't been many of those for Goff to cling to.
Serve out wide, hooked back deep. You heard the cry, Aurélie Tore, because of the point it's at, will scamper across the court. Just bring some clarity and confirmation. There we go. Goff sees the finger pointed skywards. And Iga Świątek is 2 points from the win. Okay. First serve into the net, looking to go down the tee to try and get an error off the Goff forehand. Hour and 34 on the match clock. Sun still shining down on Philippe Chatrier. Semi-final day. Your semi-final tomorrow afternoon will be Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner. And then not before 5:30. That was not before 2:30. Not before 5:30. Casper Ruud against Sasha Zverev. Iga Świątek couldn't capitalise on the two match points on the Coco Gauff serve. Now has two on her own to get back into the Roland Garros final. 5-4, 40-15. Świątek winds herself up into the second serve at match point. Out wide she goes, forehand thunders to the feet, and she gets a short ball Goff to work with. She goes backhand cross court. Cross court the backhand goes Świątek. Squash shot from Świątek. It will land long. That's another match point saved.
Goff just turning to her team, clenching the fist. She hasn't given up the fight.
Fourth match point for Iga Świątek, the world number one. The second in the service game. Apologise, it's not happy the ball toss as a pigeon flies over the court, casting a shadow on the clay. Świątek serves too deep. Cuts that ball away to the ball boy because she has another ball tucked inside the short to the left-hand side that she will use. Trying to get it done. Fourth match point. Serve down the centre, the forehand through the middle of the court. Goff with her forehand crunches it long. And the arms are aloft from the world number one, Iga Świątek. It's taken her an hour and 37 minutes. A straight set, 6-2, 6-4 win. The only set she's dropped was to Naomi Osaka, where she was match point down. Since then, she has been ruthless. And she is back in the Roland Garros final. She has 20 matches unbeaten here. Her longest unbeaten run on clay is equaled with 18. She is the two-time defending champion. And she's through to her fifth Grand Slam finalist, Coco Gauff. Takes the applause from the crowd. She'll have to reset and go again in the doubles. Still very much fighting on in that with Katerina Siniaková. But the task was a tough one. The task was too much. And Iga Świątek is back in the Roland Garros final.
But not a surprising result given the head-to-head. Not a surprising result given how good Iga Świątek is this year. She's in her moment, isn't she? She's in her pomp right now, and particularly here at Roland Garros. Phenomenal stats and another incredibly impressive performance from the world number one. Perhaps a day to forget for Coco Gauff. Didn't serve quite well enough, didn't string enough good points together, but that's very easy to say. Much harder to deliver on when you're playing someone of Świątek's confidence, Świątek's ability, Świątek's attacking prowess. Goff will have many other moments in the sun.
It's really not a good matchup, though, is it?
It's not a good matchup, but that matchups can change. Coco Gauff is still emerging. I wonder if she might consider doing something radical with her serve like Sabalenka did. But right now, we're going to hear from Iga Świątek. She's going to be talking to Mats Wilander.
Merci beaucoup. Iga, congratulations. You're into yet another Roland Garros finals. It was very excited after you won that match. How does it feel?
Yeah, for sure it was intense. In the second set, kind of tight because we were breaking each other. But I'm happy that I just, you know, was consistent with my tactics and didn't overthink stuff and just went for it at the end.
Coco Gauff obviously is younger than you. You played her in a couple of years ago in the finals. A few words on what you think of Coco's progress as a player.
Well, I think she is progressing a lot, you know. You can see by her results, you know, last year's US Open for sure showed that she's tough. And yeah, well, I think at this age, you know, it's kind of obvious that she's going to just grow. So it's nice to see her, you know, handling well everything around her. And yeah, because it's not easy. So I'm sure we're going to have plenty more, you know, really intense matches on the highest level because Coco is, you know, also one of the consistent players out there. So, yeah.
Good. Wish you good luck, for sure. It seems Naomi Osaka in the second round, she had a match point. And you were maybe tired afterwards, but something changed after that or not? Because you've only lost 14 games in four matches.
Well, yeah, I don't know if...
Yeah.
For for sure, you know, something changed. I would say I just adjusted better to the court, and you know, it's not easy to play these first matches on a Grand Slam because the atmosphere is much different. Sorry, I'm hearing myself. Because the atmosphere is much different on other tournaments, and against Naomi, for sure, I didn't have time to kind of get into it. She just was intense from the beginning and put pressure on me. So I'm happy that I handled it well. And after that, you know, the weather changed also, so it helps my game, I feel, and I just gained confidence, I would say.
Mm, you definitely did. Definitely did. So you have a day off before your finals. Do you have certain things that you have done in the 3 years when you won Roland Garros? You do the same thing on Friday?
No. You know, for the first years we played here during COVID, so there wasn't much to do. We were in quarantine. I mean, not quarantine, but we were kind of, you know, staying in the hotel, not really going out. But now I'm trying to mix it up a little, because how long can you stay in, you know, the same routine? So yeah, I'm doing, you know, a little bit more like socializing, and but overall, still, you know, I'm that kind of player that likes to stay in the bubble, so I want to balance it well. But for sure, I can adapt a little bit. Sorry, add a little bit more of that, because it's easier for me to like turn on and off in terms of the focus and, you know, thinking about tennis.
Well, you turned it on today. Iga, thank you very much. Congratulations. Qualifier pour la finale, Iga Swiatek.
Fourth Roland Garros final in 5 years. She's a three-time titleist here. She's now 11-1 against Coco Gauff. She has just turned 23. Wow, I think is all you can say about Iga Swiatek. She knows what she has to do. She goes out and she executes. And whatever went on in her mind during that match against Naomi Osaka has made her stronger and tougher and more resilient than ever.
Yes, I mean, she may only be 23, but she is a player for the ages. And what we're seeing now is a player who, as I said, she's in her pomp. And she has that feeling, that aura of unbeatability. But Naomi Osaka showed that you can break through that aura. There are ways to rattle her. There are ways to beat her. Swiatek will now leave the court and go and complete her media interviews at the side of the court. She's going to talk to French TV first. I'm sure Polish TV will want to talk to her. I'm sure everybody will want to talk to her. That's what happens when you're world number one.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Well, we had every intention of telling you and describing to you exactly how our semi-finalists for the second of the semi-finals made it through to this stage. But rather quicker than anticipated, Mira Andreeva and Jasmine Paolini are in the corridor, deep in the bowels of Court Philippe Chatrier. They are going to be introduced to a pretty sparse Court Philippe Chatrier very shortly. Of course, a lot of people have nipped out to have something to eat and drink just to stretch the legs. It's a pretty warm afternoon, certainly if you're in the sun. It is hot today. We've seen Iga Swiatek book her place in the final once again. The big question, will she be up against the talented teenager who has caused a sensation over the past few days, or the pocket rocket from Italy? It's time for Mira Andreeva to be introduced.
Voici Mira Andreeva.
Extraordinary to think that she's still only 17 years of age. She was a qualifier here last year. She'd never been past the quarterfinals of a WTA Tour level event. And now she's in the last four at Roland Garros. Her progress has been a surprise. And it has to be said that Jasmine Paolini's has as well, as she climbs that steep staircase. Usually got a huge grin on her face. Very charismatic, but right now, very businesslike ahead of the biggest match of her career at the age of 28.
Jasmine Paolini.
And what a fortnight it's been for the Italians. For the first time ever, they have a man and a woman in the semi-finals of the singles at the same slam. We'll be turning our attention to Jannik Sinner tomorrow. We expected him to be here come the latter stages. Jasmine Paolini may be 12 in the world, but this is unexpected. It's a fascinating semi-final as a result. They've got to forget that Iga Świątek is awaiting the winner. We know what she can do, and Coco Gauff has discovered that once again. Before you worry about that, just focus on the situation here. Alison Hughes is our umpire. We'll hear from her shortly, and then we'll hear from Simon Cambers. I'm Marcus Buckland. Great to have your company wherever you are in the world. So glad you're listening to this semi-final on Radio Roland Garros.
Moving a little bit to the net.
That's Alison's voice. Pictures being taken.
Ascots are almost as big as Paolini.
So, ladies, same conditions in the previous matches, just a few reminders.
It's not an exaggeration. On the boards and also I mean, she is only 5'4" in height.
I can ask you to use the orange, please, and the blue, please. Do you have any questions, ladies? Okay. Ball or player?
Player.
Player?
Andreeva calls player.
Okay. It's player. Receive.
So Andreeva is going to receive. She heads down to the president's box end. Jasmine Paolini comes towards us. We're in our usual position on the fifth level of this wonderful media centre at Roland Garros by all the greats of the sporting world from years gone by. Chris Evert just popped by because Alex Kretschmer's a couple of doors along. You look around and there's someone famous. You miss Chris Evert in a wonderful pink suit.
Love Chris Evert.
Annabelle Croft is here, former British number one. But Simon Cambers is the most important man here because he is going to tell us exactly what's going to happen in this second semi-final.
Well, I think the chances are it'll be closer than the first one. Even though I think Coco Gauff fought really hard and actually played well, I think this one you'd imagine would be closer. Andreeva, it'd be hard not to have some nerves on a day like this in your first semi-final. But it's the same for Paolini too. I think they both have played great to get to this stage. I know they played each other in Madrid recently and Andreeva got the better of Paolini, and I sort of feel like Andreeva has this match, has the edge, but it's going to be fascinating to see who handles the occasion the most, because as we know in these circumstances that's half the battle.
It is, and there are so many fantastic statistics surrounding this match. For example, there's an 11-year age gap. Now, that is the biggest at Roland Garros since the semi-finals back in 1985, when the aforementioned Chris Evert was the ripe old age of 30. Her opponent, Gabriela Sabatini, was only 15. Back in those days, we did become more accustomed to youngsters, to teenagers going deep. I've compiled a list here, Simon, of other prior to Mira Andreeva, who reached a Roland Garros semi-final before turning 18. You've got Andre Jaeger in 81 and 82, Sabatini 85, Steffi Graf 87, Sabatini again in 87, Natasha Zvereva in 88, Mary Jo Fernandez 89, Arantxa Sánchez Vicario 89, Monica Seles 89, Seles did it in 90, Jennifer Capriati did it in 90, Seles again in 91. So it was par for the course then. But since then, Hingis, 97 and 98, Nicole Vidasova, 2006, and Amanda Anisimova in 2019.
I think a lot of that can be explained by the change in the eligibility rules, so that players can only play a certain number of events until they get to 18, designed to protect them, to create better longevity in the sport. And that can only be a good thing. Until that changed, I think Hingis was the last. She snuck in there before it happened. But in recent years, they've really tightened it up. So Coco Gauff couldn't play that much when she was 15, 16. And Andreeva also. She's had the situation when she was 16 last year. She was saying, well, I can't actually play that much. I can only play a few here and there. But it's not hurting her. And if anything, it'll hopefully mean that we get to see her much more over the years, because she's a phenomenal player. I've got all the time in the world for the way she plays, and she's also a great personality off the court. She's a lovely speaker. She seems to have a really nice sense of humour. So she has all the makings of a superstar, just as some of those names you mentioned before.
Absolutely. And you look at the women's game, I know that Coco Gauff has come up short again today against Iga Świątek. There is no disgrace in that. She's only 20. There are other youngsters lurking with intent. We hope, with our British hats on, that Emma Raducanu can rediscover the form that took her all the way to the US Open title in 2021. By the way, Andreeva today is the first player since Raducanu to reach her first WTA Tour level semi at a slam. So she's following in her footsteps to some extent. I know, of course, that Raducanu is working as hard as possible to get ready for the grass court campaign. There is going to be a lot of pressure on her shoulders, I would suggest, Simon, but that's something we'll turn our attention to a little later.
I think the problem for all of them is that Świątek's only just turned 23.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she's 30 and on her way out.
It's terrifying. And we talk about Chris Evert, and Billie Jean King wants there to be a statue of Chris Evert here at Roland Garros to mark all the astonishing feats that she managed on this surface in particular. I know there's a long way to go, but Świątek, who adored Rafael Nadal, is very, very quickly racking up her titles here, isn't she?
Well, I mean, she's already got three. She's got every chance in the world to make it four. Chris Evert won seven. And talking of Nadal, you see Świątek's celebration now at the end is semi-Nadal, isn't it? A big fist pump, or a jump up in the air, and all this, get the crowd going. It's interesting. It's 50 years since Chris Evert won here for the first time, beating Olga Morozova in the final, and then won Wimbledon. And she won the doubles with Olga here as well. It's amazing to think of all these great champions we've had.
Well, Philippe Chatrier is starting to fill up again. The players are ready, and I suspect after the first three games there'll be a flood of fans coming back into the stadium court, having refreshed themselves on this beautiful Parisian afternoon. The horrible weather of week one, fortunately, is but a distant memory. As Jasmine Paolini gets us underway with that mop of frizzy hair, which is controlled in a ponytail. She's wearing a lime-coloured skirt, light top. She's putting her first serve into the net, and down at the other end, the tall Mira Andreeva, she's around 5'9" in height, is wearing the same outfit that's got her through to the semi-finals, and she's playing an off forehand to get us underway. And now going down the middle of the court to the forehand of Paolini, who will then, on her backhand, attempt to go across court, but puts the ball into the net, and the first point of the contest goes the way of the receiver.
Andreeva's rise to this point is pretty amazing, isn't it? I think it was last year, it was only last year's Australian Open when she played that epic junior final, and then suddenly she gets to the third round here as a qualifier, does well at Wimbledon as well. And her maturity, both physically, she's really grown in strength, but also just in the way she carries herself, it's clear that she's ready to be at this stage.
Formed a fantastic partnership very quickly with Conchita Martinez, former Wimbledon champion, the woman who was at the side of Garbina Muguruza during her great success over the past few years. As Andreeva, who missed a return with the second point and misses another there to give Paolini 30-15. They only started working together in April. It's worked, although interesting yesterday to hear Andreeva say, when asked about the tactics, well, we talk about things, but actually I forget it all when I go out on the court.
I can't remember anything.
I'm not sure what Martinez thought about that particular comment, but it's a reflection of the 17-year-old that she is. Now, forehand cross-court from Paolini, having to hook everything quite high up because of her diminutive stature, of course. Then she plays the drop shot. Andreeva read it, came in, but puts her backhand long.
Big fan of Andy Murray as well, of course. Mira Andreeva, half wondered if Andreeva might, or even if Andy might ask her to play mixed at Wimbledon, because this could be Murray's last Wimbledon, may very well be, and he might fancy doing a bit of extra duty on his singles.
Well, we're talking about age gaps, that worked that out. 20 years between those two. Her serve is missing, and I mean, she's risen so quickly. I was talking to Victor Friedrich, one of the British juniors, who is a little older than her, as Paolini serves to the backhand and then plays a forcing forehand cross court down the line, but wide from Andreeva. So Paolini holds to 15. She'll settle herself. Vic has known Mira for a while. They have social media contact, or at least they did, and I saw him just now. He's very frustrated because his partners had to pull out. They were due to play a doubles quarterfinal this afternoon, but he picked up an ab injury, so he's bitterly frustrated about that. Shame. But he was saying, I'm just wondering if I'll pluck up courage now to make contact with Mira again.
Oh, it's got to be worth a go, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
She won't forget.
Hopefully not. I mean, one of the nice things that Conchita Martinez said when describing her was that she's very humble, she's very polite, she says good morning to everybody, and if Conchita Martinez has got anything to do with it, that will continue to be the case.
There's a message from Richard saying, our strange Aussie TV coverage continues tonight with our local broadcaster showing the first semi and then dropping out just this minute for an episode of the American true crime show See No Evil. Mm. Instead of the second semi, thank God for Radio Roland Garros.
Interesting. Interesting editorial decision. Now Lini is seeing her forehand go into the net with the first point on the Andreeva serve. I'm going to make an apology in advance. I've picked up, I don't know if it's hay fever or a bit of a cold, Simon. It's that horrible time where I may occasionally have to remove my microphone and blow my nose. So be on standby if you don't mind. I don't want to snuffle all over the world with everybody. High short return. Andreeva comes in. Doesn't really take full advantage of the short ball. And then she has an air shot. Misses it completely.
I mean, the ball shot low, didn't it? We saw one point the other night where the ball barely bounced. It actually just hit the clay and skidded completely through. I can't remember when that was, but it was... you will get dodgy bounces. There are some.
Well, Zverev got certainly one of those last night when he was looking to return the ball. I mean, that's always my excuse, even if I'm playing on a pristine hard court. Did you see, how does it, I mean, I don't know what happened, but it was the bounce.
It's always the bounce, or the racket.
Of course it is. Off backhand now from Andreeva. She's going to the forehand side. She's going down the line with good depth and even better depth from Paolini. In fact, well, I'm not surprised that Andreeva has stopped the point. There was no call. Alison Hughes is coming down with the naked eye. It looked as though Paolini had gone long.
I watched, it is out, isn't it?
Yep.
I watched Dumanoir the other day. I was watching, not last night, but the round before against Medvedev. And he was, some players are able to do this. There's a shot on the baseline and he's sort of looking down as he hit it. And then he saw that his shot was going in and he had another look while he was getting ready to play. And the time these guys have got.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy it. It's interesting, actually. I'll come back to you on that match last night because there have been mixed opinions about it. Right, backhand from Paolini down the middle of the court. This pattern's continuing until she goes across court to the double hander right onto the baseline. That's a winner for Andreeva. That's skidded up. No need for the umpire to go and check the call. The point goes to the server and she goes to 40-15. I found last night really interesting. I mean, I just love watching Dumanoir because he's a whirlwind.
So fast.
I read a couple of reports. People go, oh, what a shame both players were so off form. I thought that was very, very harsh.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all. I thought Dumanoir played very well. I think he explained afterwards how tough it is to play Zverev in cool conditions.
Dry volley gives Andreeva the point and the game, so it's 1-1 after 5 minutes.
Because Zverev loves clay, he loves cool conditions because he's 6'6" or whatever, 6'5", able to hit through the court anyway. And for Dumanoir in those conditions, he couldn't do it. But I thought his speed was, I mean, I've watched him a lot, but his speed is phenomenal. Yeah. He was in about probably 50 rallies that he shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
And he was aggressive too. He came forward well. I thought he did everything he could. He just didn't quite, if he'd taken that second set, could have gone on forever.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to, I have to say, backhand into the net with the plus one from Paolini. First point of the third game. Equally, I'm very impressed with the way Zverev is dealing with everything, and I know lots is going on in his life. He's had to come through 2 5-setters as well. Backhand cross-court return from Andreeva. Now she's playing the forehand to the forehand side of the Italian. Down the line from Andreeva. High kicking ball down the middle of the court. Now the forehand cross-court from Paolini. Up the line again from Andreeva. Good ball. It's put Paolini into trouble. And in comes Andreeva and puts away another very good forehand volley. She's pretty good at taking things out of the air.
You know the thing about Andreeva as well? She waved her fist in the direction of her team then, but she's not one to sort of look at her team every shot. She's not so worried about all that kind of thing. And that bodes well because you need to be yourself out there. You're on your own. You've got a lot to deal with, a lot to figure out. And she's got such a great composure. I know sometimes she can go absolutely crazy on court. She certainly used to. But she seems to have got rid of that.
So an interesting outburst from Coco Gauff in the first of the semi-finals as the off forehand from Paolini brushes the line. Andreeva's having a look at it, but she's not going to quibble, and it's 15-30.
I thought Gauff was correct on that point. She said that the call, which was overruled, had come before she hit the ball, and I think she was correct. And also, you know, it was, even if it hadn't, it was very harsh to give the point to Swiatek.
Returns long from Andreeva, so it's 1-all, 30-all. I mean, Coco, she can get quite feisty, and listening to Gigi and Eleanor, of course, doing the commentary, there were tears in Coco's eyes at the end of that exchange.
We were just talking about that in the media room. She doesn't like confrontation, although she will stand up for herself really well. When it happens, she'll get emotional, and that's totally understandable, because it is, you know, what she said to the umpire was, this is a Grand Slam semi-final, know the rules.
Yeah. Forehand return into the net from Andreeva off her return, and to be fair to Aurélie Toure, she's a terrific umpire who does know the rules, but I think we can forgive Coco.
I think there is a good example of one of the pieces of technology that should come into tennis, is the umpire should have video technology just to look back at that call and see, oh yeah, you're right, it did come before, okay, play a let.
Great shout, and not that difficult to organise, really. 40-30 Paolini with the 118 kilometre an hour second serve. It was to the backhand of Andreeva, who's now sliced a forehand deep. She goes cross court with a flatter ball, so does Paolini. Andreeva's there again, maintaining the same rhythm until Paolini goes down the line, forcing Andreeva just to lunge at that one. She can't control the ball. We've had three games, we've had three holds of serve. We're 9 minutes in, and we have no idea who's going to play Iga Swiatek in the final tomorrow. Well, actually, no one's going to play her in the final tomorrow because it's not happening until Saturday. We've got two men's semi-finals to bring you on Radio Roland Garros tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be here for the final on Saturday afternoon.
I shouldn't mention the technology on the day that the Premier League vote to keep VAR. 19 of the 20 voted in favour.
Who was the one team?
Wolves.
It was Wolves. Good on you, Wolves.
Wolves are the one who asked for the vote in the first place. I think they've issued some sort of guidance as to making sure that the level, the threshold for getting involved should be high, etc. But it needs to be better run, that's for sure. So,
what I don't understand about that, though, Simon, is that there have been so many complaints and so many managers going crazy. Supporters hate it. Why didn't one other club at least back Wolves?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just the details of what they were suggesting. I think a lot of them want the correct decisions to be made. If you knew that it would be made within 30 seconds and it's not going to get involved in shady offside rules, there is going to be that semi-automatic offside rule that comes into football next year. I think when you've got technology in sport, you just want a quick, correct decision. You can't have wrong decisions even when you've got the technology, and you can't have shady ones. So that's why I think they haven't brought it in yet for second bounce. The two bounces in tennis, for example, because that's still, even when you look at it on the screen, you're not sure.
No. And the other scandalous thing about that, as Mira Andreeva goes long with her plus one shot, first point of the fourth game. The other scandalous thing about that is that certainly if you go to a Premier League game, you pay a lot of money. And when there's a VAR incident, you sit there having absolutely no idea what is going on. And tennis at least gets it right. When there's a quibble, when there's a dispute, we can all watch on the screen. Very quickly, it's resolved. And the paying public, who are sometimes, I think, totally overlooked, know exactly what's happening. And they've got to sort that out in the stadiums. That looked a very, very deep second serve from Andreeva, but it's called in and the backhand returns long.
Yeah, I mean, you just want it to be right and you want to know what's going on. And I think that was one part of the agreement, that it should be clearer. The referee will tell people what's going on, but we shall see.
Mind you, you know, the other one strange thing, don't worry, we will not talk football. This is a tennis semi-final. Andreeva goes long there. Going to Anfield, your ground the other day, you haven't got any big screens.
Ah, who needs big screens?
Well, for exactly the times we've just been talking about. It's a wonderful stadium as Andreeva goes wide.
You can't let other fans know that a dodgy penalty might have been dodgy. Well,
that's exactly what it is. More dodgy penalties given at Anfield over the past 30 years
not
than
true.
Anywhere else, or maybe
no,
rivaling Old
totally
Trafford.
Totally not true. Maybe Man United is like 10 times worse than everyone else.
Okay, Liverpool, Man U, they hate each other.
We had a period of about 2 years with no penalties.
Well, penalty. We only had one last season,
I think.
You
have to get in the box first.
It's 1-2, 15-30, forehand, wide, cross-court and wide from Paolini.
We haven't talked much about Paolini yet. I think, you know, she's had an incredible run to the semi-final, guaranteed to be in the top 10 after this. Had a very good clay court season all round. I think one in Dubai as well.
Oh, yes.
Just looking at a picture of, I think, Svetlana Kuznetsova in the stands, in the box, watching Andreeva. But yeah, I mean, she's not to be underestimated in this match by any means. And the thing I like about her, and the thing that makes me think that she will not freeze on this occasion, and she's certainly not already, is that her game is very much suited to just, you know, playing consistently, use a lot of spin, a lot of margin over the net. She's not going to blast loads of unforced errors. So the onus is on Andreeva to attack, but Paolini will just play her game.
Well, Paolini has an opportunity here to make the first inroads into this semi-final, because she has a breakpoint opportunity. Andreeva's serving at 1-2, 30-40. Bright sunshine. Looks up and goes long with that first serve, which is flicked back to the other end of the court by Paolini. A ball boy nips out from the corner, grabs it. He's in position. The second serve comes. Paolini runs round onto it, hits an off forehand, really up the middle of the court. Now she's back into a central position. She's playing low across court to the forehand of Andreeva, who goes down the line. Backhand down the middle of the court now from Andreeva. No pace on the ball from either player. And then it's Andreeva who tries to up the pace. Went with a snappy off forehand, but she nets. And the first break of this semi-final, Simon Cambers, belongs to Jasmine Paolini.
Yep, just earned by consistency, wasn't it? She hasn't gone for anything yet, hasn't needed to. She's just testing out Andreeva's patience. And on that occasion, it broke down.
Paolini's the fourth Italian woman to make the semi-finals at Roland Garros in the Open era, after Francesco Schiavone, Sara Errani, and Martina Trevisan. She serves to the backhand. Very good deep return from Andreeva, who then goes for the off forehand. She's pummeling that corner, slice on the backhand, and long from Paolini.
Haven't seen any drop shots from either player yet, and I would expect to see that soon as they start, you know, sort of settling better. Andreeva's getting a lot of power on the ground strokes, pushing Paolini back. There is room.
Paolini, along with that first serve, she's won five matches in a row on clay for the first time in her career. Her previous best efforts on this surface, a runners-up spot at Palermo last year. The return is out from Andreeva.
We get so many emails and tweets. It's fantastic to have all your company. I love the ones that just have messages that the title is their name. Steve. Right, I'm going to read this. Steve.
Well, what's Steve got to say? We'll find out in a moment. Backhand from Paolini. The forehand is whipped across court. Shortish angle from Andreeva gives her some space to go down the line, and that works. Defending behind her baseline with a slice backhand, Paolini nets.
Yeah, good use of spin and angle from Andreeva there. Yeah, Steve says, tried to listen to Radio Roland Garros. I'm just one of my echo dots. However, it decided to play on all three of my echo dots throughout the entire house. Laugh out loud, that's funny. So yeah, he was playing it on one of his contraptions, echo dots, and then it played it on all three in the house. So it's everywhere. We're everywhere.
Yeah, you cannot escape us. And if you've got the app, wherever you go, we can go with you. So stay with us for the remainder of Roland Garros 2024 as Paolini serves to the backhand and it's got a shortish ball which she was trying to attack. It did jump up at her a little bit. She isn't a tall woman, of course. She nets, and here straight away are break back opportunities for the 17-year-old.
We saw last night, didn't we, with Dumanur and Zverev, that both men were struggling from one end where the wind, they were serving into the wind, hitting into the wind. Not sure which way the wind is going. Can't tell from the lack of flags above us, but it could be an end situation as well.
Well, it's a backhand return from Andreeva. Here she has her opponent at 15-40, looking to hit straight back after being broken. She's able to wait for a flighted ball. And another one now from Paolini down the middle of the court. Back it goes down the line from Andreeva. Then she changes the angle, but she just goes long, looking again, as Simon was saying, to move her opponent around, to wait for the opportunity. Perhaps she just snatched at that one a little bit, but she still has another break point to try and capitalise upon.
I was thinking of Svetlana Kuznetsova in the house. She used to be quite funny to deal with as press. There's some interesting occasions with her.
Feisty, was she?
Yeah, if she wasn't in the mood.
Backhand down the line and wide from Andreeva, so 15-40 becomes juice.
Some of the WTA tournaments used to have a media access hour where the big names would be put around tables and people would just flip between them, and it was great. We could have nice informal chats. And I remember walking towards Svetlana. She was sat on the table on her own. I got to about 10 feet away and she goes, "What?"
Oh, dear.
I didn't go any closer.
No, very sensible. High backhand cross court from Paolini. Now she's got that awkward off forehand, which she does deal with. She'll go cross court, changes the angle. Good defense from Andreeva. She's put up a high ball. Paolini lets it bounce. Then she decides not to smash it, but just lofts it back to the forehand wing of her opponent. Backhand down the middle of the court now. Backhands from both players, and the one from Paolini is just a fraction long. She's not sure. She's having
close.
A word with the umpire. Alison Hughes, I think somewhat reluctantly, is coming down off her chair to have a look.
Yeah, I thought it was close. She was a very flat hit, so it could have just flown too far. I think the umpires, when they get down there all that way and it's out, they think, I told you it was out.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't want to go down there in the first place.
It's a warm afternoon. Alison has dispensed with her jacket, so she's got a white shirt on. The blue trousers that are so very smart. Of course, Roland Garros, you expect all the umpires and officials to be decked out nicely. A bit of luck there from Paolini as her forehand cracked against the top of the tape and really did take its time, the ball, to decide which side to come down. It went over.
Hit the net twice. Hit the net once and then bounced on top of the net. Very lucky on a break point.
Yeah, so that's three break points that have come and gone for Mira Andreeva. Sun's beating down again. Every now and then it just disappears briefly behind a cloud. Paolini serves to the forehand, whipped back across court. And Andreeva is then going down the line, but again she's just missing.
Sometimes gets a bit close to that forehand on the when she's in the forehand corner. Pushes it wide a little.
Mentioned that Paolini is the fourth Italian woman to reach the semi-finals here. She's hoping to become the third to get to the showpiece event. Backhand reply with no pace on it from Andreeva, who goes again to the backhand side of the Italian. We'll see her double hander once more with more pace. And into the net from Andreeva. So she did have three break back point opportunities. She couldn't convert any of them. And she goes back to her chair with Jasmine Paolini leading by 4-1.
Yeah, needed that little bit of luck on the forehand to get two bounces over the top of the net, but good start from Paolini, and Andreeva just trying to figure out her game plan, it feels like. Maybe she should have listened to Conchita Martinez. Hope she did. But just making a few errors when it's important. A message from Lizzie says, "Sorry, Marcus, to hear you're not feeling 100%. Also curious, what was learned about Sabalenka? Is she doing better? Well, late last night, she issued a statement through the WTA where she said she'd been suffering from a stomach bug of some sort for a few days. So that was obviously an unfortunate timing for her. To have that, but it sounds like she'll be back pretty soon, which is good.
Well, there definitely has been a bug. I mentioned at the start of this week a number of the British juniors went down with it. That has spread. I know that a couple of the American juniors have been hit, and no real surprise if from the juniors, because they often are, although their locker rooms are actually in Suzanne Longlen, so they're not near the big name stars who camp out in Chatrier, but it is quite easy for these bugs to start jumping around. And what an awful day for it to attack Sabalenka. What an extraordinary day it was, really, to see both Sabalenka and Rybakina lose in the quarterfinals, the two players who you feel could put Iga Świątek under real pressure. They have done so, of course, on several occasions in the past, but instead, it's going to be one of these two on Saturday to attempt to prevent this year's Roland Garros from becoming Poland Garros again, as Andreeva wins the first point of the sixth game with the first set.
Poland Garros, it's a good one, isn't it? Of course, it's today's D-Day.
It is.
Just to mention, if it hasn't been mentioned already today, lots of celebrations going on, commemorations.
Yeah. A lot of television coverage as well on the French national broadcasting channels, paying suitable respect as this point just develops. We haven't had many lengthy rallies, it has to be said, but there's a fizzing forehand off the racket of Paolini. She goes across court. And Andreeva looking relatively untroubled, adding a bit of pace to her own ground strokes, then changing up, going to the backhand, and then having to deal, dealing really well with a deep ball from Paolini that didn't really get off the ground. And when Andreeva's bounced at the other end, it barely got off the ground as well, sneaked underneath the defences of the Italian.
Perhaps a little lucky. I think she was a little bit late in hitting that ball, a bit cramped, and the backhand came off at a slightly unusual angle and then lost its pace, so maybe that explains why it didn't bounce so much, but did well to withstand the attack from Paolini.
She needs a good hold here, and she's got to 30 love, and now she's playing, I think, the first drop shot of the contest. Maybe she won't play another one for a while because that backhand effort droops rather apologetically into the net.
Yeah, good idea though. I mean, she was in a good position to play the drop shot. I think she just obviously just missed it, but it was a good choice. I hope she doesn't go away from it, because that's a good shot. Paolini was a long way back.
Well, it's also a fantastic tactic, particularly on a clay court. I do love it. I mean, some players, of course, will get Ons Jabeur, for example. You're going to get them all the time. There's another one. Paolini's going to get to that one, but she misses as she goes back across court. Andreeva was covering the line. I think, though, Paolini perhaps should have done a bit better with that.
Well, she got there in plenty of time. She slid it into the ball really nicely and then just rolled it cross court. We've got a dog. We've got a visitor.
It's Nepia.
Ah.
Who was here a couple of days ago. Bonsoir. No, not yet bonsoir. Bonjour, Nepia.
I'm waving at him. But I think as a guide dog, that's probably why
she's not responding. She's turned her back
as a guide dog, they're not supposed to leave their owner anyway, so that's a good idea.
Paolini steps into a big backhand. It's sliced back into play by Andreeva. She's having to deal with a lot of power from Paolini, and the drive volley's a winner.
It's been a pretty impressive start from Paolini. Doesn't at all look fazed by the occasion. I think all these wins that she's been accumulating, she just has the confidence. And, you know, playing, as you said, she's not playing a Sabalenka or a Rybakina or a big name. Obviously not a Świątek, and huge opportunity for both players, but Paolini will think this is her time.
Backhand reply to the forehand side of Andreeva, who's going on to the double hander, taking the pace off the ball. Club back though by Paolini, and another error on the backhand wing from Andreeva. From 40-15, she's pegged back to juice.
Yeah, a few too many from her point of view, a few too many unforced errors so far. Andreeva creating good opportunities, but just making mistakes.
Both players on court for almost exactly the same amount of time to reach this semi-final. 8 hours and 45 minutes for Paolini, 3 minutes less for Andreeva. As she goes down the line with her forehand, she's there again, same shot. Stretch from Paolini to get the ball. Now the changes. Andreeva came forward with a very menacing approach shot. It was too hot to handle for Paolini.
Yeah, that was only her sixth, if it wasn't even an unforced error, but there's been 13 unforced errors from Andreeva to the five of Paolini, so that shows you that she's going for it a bit, but she is also missing.
Andreeva dropped two sets en route to the semi-final, one, of course, against Sabalenka, the other against a very experienced Victoria Azarenka in a match that finished very, very late. That was a second-round encounter, eventually Andreeva got through it 7-5 in the third. Oh, that's a second serve ace right down the middle. Everybody had a little look. Paolini's now going right up to the line to have a closer look. I'm sure she'll rub it away. She does. Just for a moment, she was hoping for a late call. It didn't come. We had the hold, and Paolini will now serve at 4-2.
Yeah, a little bit lucky, but brave serve down the tee to change up from Andreeva. Message from Else, who says, listening in the car coming home. I don't know where you are, Else, although not sure, but it says schools are closed now until September already. Must be in the US somewhere. Wow. Drop shot. Nice.
Yep. Paolini with her first drop shot. Andreeva gets to it, and she gets to the second volley as well. The lob is a good one. Back she goes. She'll put up a high ball. Paolini's underneath it. She's rushing back, but she won't have to do anything because that attempted defensive lob from Mira Andreeva lands wide.
Yeah, good to see Paolini using the drop shot as well. I thought Andreeva got there well, but just didn't put the volley away. Andreeva is pretty good at the net normally.
Starting to warm up though, both players being a little more adventurous.
Hayden wants to know, is that really a stomach bug for Sabalenka, or has Marcus been passing out strawberry sandwiches?
Not guilty, I promise. Forehand, deep across court, and Andreeva's had to pick up an awkward ball on a forehand wing, and it goes long, and just a little flicker of teenage irritation after that.
Yeah, a bit exasperated. How dare you hit the line?
I've got this devious plan. I'll let Simon in on it. Gigi already knows, but we're going to take this dodgy loaf of bread and we're going to put a couple of slices in the bread basket later, dim the lights a bit and see if Batters falls for it. Backhand returns into the net from Andreeva, and now as she wanders forward, she's just gesticulating a little, first towards box and then at the line. She's thinking, the lines are against me. How dare she keep finding, be it my baseline or my service line.
Free bread. I think it's got a chance.
I think so. 40 love. Off forehand return. Paolini winds herself up for the same sort of shot. And she goes flat right down the middle of the court. She runs back to play another one of those to the double hander of Andreeva, who clips the top of the tape. Paolini is again running around onto that forehand, now playing the inside in, making Andreeva work closely and then work brilliantly to go back behind Paolini, who kept trying to run round onto her forehand but eventually was undone by that tactic.
Yeah, smart change up in the middle of the rally from Andreeva, which just played a loopy high ball but with good depth so that Paolini couldn't attack it. And then that's probably the best forehand she's hit cross court, Andreeva.
The two Italian women who have made it to the Roland Garros final in the open era are Schiavone, who won it in 2010 and was runner-up a year later, and Sara Errani, who was the runner-up in 2012. So it's been more than 10 years, but Italian tennis is ruling the world at the moment. Paolini not ruling that particular point, though. She puts a pretty moderate forehand cross-court into the net.
Alex makes a pretty good point that Paolini did, in fact, beat Rybakina, of course. I said she's not playing a Rybakina in the semis, but you know what I mean. She's not playing a big name in a semi-final with such stuff at stake, such big stakes to worry about. But yeah, good point.
That was her third top five victory yesterday for Jasmine Paolini. Who's onto her backhand. The off forehand from Andreeva. She's not having to move too much during this rally. She's peppering the backhand. Now she's going on to the backhand side herself down the line. Deep ball long from Paolini, who's got to be a little careful herself now. She's been pegged back to deuce here, serving at 4-2 in the first set.
Yeah, that second serve ace might prove to be pretty crucial for Andreeva. Now she's been able to put a bit of pressure on Paolini. I think she's starting to get a feel for what she needs to do. She's basically keep the ball off the forehand of Paolini, which is dangerous. She can really rip it cross-court.
Big point for Andreeva in particular, and the first serve goes into the net. Ricochet's back quite a long way, so a ball boy with a cap on does what he has to do, settles again. Second serve comes to the forehand. It's sitting up a little bit. Deep return. She didn't really go after it. She looked more for position than power. Now the slice backhand. Now the mid-court ball thumped hard on the forehand wing by Andreeva, who guides it again right onto Paolini's baseline. Then plays the off backhand, and it's a winner. And there are definite signs that the 17-year-old is really coming to life now.
She varies the pace so well, does Andreeva. In the middle of that rally again, she just rolled the backhand, which pulled Paolini out of court. And then eventually having space to hit down the line. It's just really smart play for somebody so young, especially.
So another opportunity to get back on serve in this first set. She's replied down the middle with her backhand. She's stretching just a little bit. It's a loose ball. She was hurried into that one just a little bit. It goes long, and these break points keep coming and going from her grasp.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You mentioned her sort of looking a bit like a teenager at times. She doesn't want to keep missing too many of these.
Minutes on the clock. 4-2 in juice. Paolini to the backhand. The return's down the middle of the court, and a slapped off forehand from Paolini's straight into the net.
It's one of the few times she's really tried to go for it. She's been content to just be patient, work the point. Went for it a bit too much.
Will this be the moment that Andreeva finally unlocks the door to the Paolini serve? She's applied to the forehand side. She's there again. That ball skidded up at her just a little bit. Now Andreeva goes cross-court on her backhand. The drop shot from Paolini. It's brilliant. What a time to play it. What a time to execute it.
Yeah, really nicely played. It was inside the baseline when she chose to play it. Spotted Andreeva a bit behind the baseline. Andreeva was quick to get up to it, but it was very nicely played. Cut underneath the ball and across it. So the ball spun away. One of those ones where you think you're going to get it, and you get near it, and then it moves to the side as well.
Yeah, incredibly frustrating. It's five break points now that have come and gone for Andreeva. It's deuce at 4-2. This forehand return again has no pace on it, as Simon was saying. It's very clever the way she mixes things up, but she's got a little mixed up herself there, Andreeva, and the backhand flies long. A relatively becalmed centre court at the moment. As Paolini serves to the backhand, which goes across court. Now she's there again. Well, she was going to have to shovel an awkward half volley from just behind her baseline. There was Andreeva, but the call came about. She indicates where it is. Alison Hughes, again, after a customary delay, has decided to come and have a look for
it's
herself.
It's definitely out. I mean, it's quite a long way out, I think.
Well, she's persuaded her to look. And she raises the finger.
Surprised us what one of the other fingers in Paolini's direction. I'm not going down there again.
Yes. They're keeping her involved, shall we say. And of course, on top of the awkward walk, she's got the camera protruding from her ear. Did see a good angle of that actually last night. So once they get it to work, maybe it'll be a welcome addition. Andy Murray is very, very suspicious about it at the moment. Oh, that forehand is right on the line from Paolini, who wheels around and raises her right fist towards her box. What a significant moment to produce that.
Andy Murray rarely gets involved on Twitter, but when he does, he tends to... He's very good on there.
Yeah.
Did you see his trolling of poor Liam Brody the other day?
Oh, yes. That's been a regular occurrence. But yeah, one line normally, but it's a withering one-liner as a rule from Murray. That's a good serve. The return is wide from Andreeva, and Paolini, having flirted with trouble again, having had to deal with five break points, is still perfect on serve. And in a moment, it's going to be Mira Andreeva who will have to serve to stay in the set.
I think it was something like Liam Brody put on Twitter that he... had some breaking some news that he'd accidentally hit his head on his car door.
Yes.
And he ended up trying to play, realised that actually he's got concussion, so he can't play next week. And to which Andy Murray put underneath, I think that's the first one of your tweets that I've actually believed. Poor Liam, you know, he's trying to, a few years ago, he's sort of getting better and better and better, getting close to the top 100, and he was being round Davis Cup, around Murray, around the big players, and there's Murray just giving him a hard time all the time.
I must say, though, having been lucky enough to be at the NTC on a few occasions when the Davis Cup team or just some of the top Brits are there, fantastic relationship between most of them. Real sense of camaraderie, and Andy Murray is in the thick of it all. And if you speak to any of the youngsters, the younger players, and not always the youngest young ones, but anyone who wants to get a word of advice from him, he is there to help. And one day I think he could be a fantastic coach for somebody if he should so wish.
Definitely. Quick question about the official word from Novak on his knee surgery. When do you think a likely return for him would be? That's from Tessa. Well, I think it's incredibly unlikely that he plays Wimbledon. So the Olympics is the best bet, and that could be a push too.
Well, as Andreeva begins this important game, she's serving to stay in the first set. She's hooking her plus one to the off forehand of Jasmine Paolini, who then flattens things out. Oh, that's terrific, though, from Andreeva. She just leant into her double-hander and hits a winner. I still think, Simon, bear in mind what we saw from Djokovic the other day, that... I wouldn't be the least bit surprised in a couple of months or so to see a medal round Novak's neck.
Well, it's the only thing he hasn't won, isn't it? A gold medal in singles at the Olympics. So,
he loves a challenge, and obviously it's awful timing. And I think those people who were very quick to criticise him a few days ago during that match against Cirundolo will be feeling a little bit foolish at the moment. Big off forehand from Andreeva. Goes back into the same place. Paolini is there watching, ready to go in either direction. She has to stretch again on her double hander. Now she'll have to go the other way, but then she stops the halt, or the run. She halts the run, whatever I'm trying to say, because the forehand cross court from Andreeva is into the net.
Yeah, another forehand error from Andreeva, this time going cross court. She's been peppering the backhand a lot, but is trying to change it up. She just needs to hit with a little bit more spin, manoeuvre Paolini and be patient.
15-all, first serve into the net. Second